What are you drinking, Josh?
Polar.
Polar?
Polar seltzer.
Oh, did you know there's a beer called Polar?
No.
I don't think I did, no.
Look it up. I think it's Venezuelan. I want you guys to look it up because I want to see if I'm right, because it's very rare that I'd know anything about a beer. And I don't think it's Venezuelan. I just drank it with my Venezuelan friend.
Yeah, Empresas Polar.
Yes. It is Venezuelan.
Dude, nice. Is it like a light blue can with an imposing like bear or wolf on it?
Yes. It's a polar bear.
That makes total sense.
See?
But then it's weird because they don't want it to be called polar, but the bear is polar.
Right.
Huh. Anyway, I had that beer, I want to say, in 2008, and I still remember all those details.
Did you have it in Venezuela?
I had it in Miami, Florida. Doesn't that even sound nice?
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds really refreshing. Yeah.
We took a college summer road trip.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
So what prompted the polar?
My Venezuelan friend said, do you want some Venezuelan beer?
Oh, shit. This came recommended from somebody that knows it well.
Kind of. I mean, he's fully like born and raised in a suburb of Chicago. But okay. His family knew this beer well enough to teach him about it.
Nice.
And it's not like the greatest beer in the world. It's like, have a chill instead of Bud Light. Polar.
Yeah.
It's much better than Bud Light.
It's nice that it's polar beer and not polar bear.
Dude, wow. I never thought of that.
Right?
I can't believe I never thought of that.
Wait, you like king of wordplay, huh?
I know. I was too. I just thought it was all hitting me in the face, but it's not. It's subtle.
Yeah, so subtle.
This would be a great review for the beer itself.
Yeah, much like their 5.1 ABV. Subtle. You're listening to Instead Of, a hypothetical podcast with Josh Harrison, Tappan Johnny, and me, Mike Bogart.
Do you think we can retroactively ask Polar to give us whatever the value of a six-pack is for talking about them so much by accident?
I feel like we've earned a six-pack by now.
For sure.
What has this been, 3 minutes?
I'll drink one, even.
Nice.
I'll drink two, because, I mean, otherwise one of you is going to make a land grab and we'll get into a whole thing about rights.
Well.
See, I knew it was going to be Josh.
I mean, I'm not local.
Josh, so. I'm not going to let you trample on Mike. We're all going to have two Polars each.
Okay. What do you think it would take to make Polar the official beer of the Super Bowl?
Oh, I thought you were going to say of instead of.
Are we allowed to say Super Bowl?
No, we have to say the big game.
No, we fucking don't. The big game sounds so lame. Like, at least come up with something better. What, instead of the big game, what would you call it that doesn't sound nearly as bad without infringing on their trademark?
And it's still the championship of like the football leagues, right?
It's still the game that is happening in a couple hours from the day that we're recording. I know when they listen now, the Patriots and or the Rams will have won this game.
I'm always surprised you don't have more Patriots confidence being a Boston of Boston heralded descent. Damn, Mike, how do I say that well? How do I say it right? He's not. Can he herald from Boston?
He can herald from Boston.
Heralding from Boston.
Uh-huh.
And you don't believe in the Patriots.
It's not that I don't believe in them. It's that their fans are kind of insufferable, and I kind of hope they lose.
Oh, damn.
I'm also going for the Rams.
Yeah, I feel like that's, like, I'm not that unique in this. I think a lot of people root against the Patriots.
Even former Patriots fans, like, have turned against them.
I don't think that's happened. Where's that happened?
I know one.
You
so
know one? Oh, damn.
That's the only one.
But it's still one.
It's one.
Yeah.
Josh, but are you saying, like, would your family be okay with you saying this?
I don't know. My sister and my mom don't really care.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My dad probably wouldn't be super happy. And my sister...
He wouldn't be what happy?
Super happy.
I bet this is... I always wondered how that name got attached to this. I think it's just because people like the word super.
It's just a really good bowl, yeah.
It doesn't come up anywhere else in football once.
That was a super throw.
Yeah, see, like, it's not in the rule book if a quarterback should make a super throw, fucking pat him on the back. Like, it's not there.
What are you going to do? Like, name it after the coolest move in the game? Like, I mean, the basketball championship should be called, like, the National Slam Dunk Finals or something.
But that is an entirely different activity. They have that.
That's true.
Yeah.
There is a slam dunk finals.
Right.
It's awesome, Josh, if you're curious.
We've watched it, I know.
Oh, yeah, nice. Well, I would call it, Mike, what would you call it?
The gigantic game. No.
You still call it the game at the end?
Man, the majestic match.
Going for a lot of alliteration, I've noticed.
You gotta.
What about the bowl?
Hmm.
Does that matter to you?
Yeah, I mean, sort of. I feel like sort of iconic that it's a bowl.
It's not a bowl. Let's call that out.
That's true.
That's true. It's not a bowl.
Does it look like a bowl to you? Could I eat cereal off of the Super Bowl trophy?
No, it's not a bowl at all.
It's going to slide directly onto the floor at Disneyland.
Mm. Why Disneyland?
Customarily, when people win the Super Bowl, they say, I'm going to Disneyland.
Oh.
I wonder how much Disneyland paid for that. That's so good.
They only paid for it once, I bet.
I know. That's so good.
Because now you want to say it. Josh, what do you want to call it?
Well, so they have all these pregame shows that, like, they have, like, the cat bowl or the kitten bowl or something like that.
The puppy bowl, too.
Yeah, puppy bowl. What if we call it, like, the puppy bowl post show?
Okay.
You want to call the, like, human football championship the puppy bowl post show?
Yeah, why not?
So many reasons. Come on. First of all, the emphasis is on the puppy bowl in that situation, don't you think?
Don't you think the dogs need a little more attention paid to them?
No. Dogs are loved adequately. I love them all, and they are, like, well-loved. If you're going to tell me dogs aren't well-loved, you're living on a different goddamn planet. What other animal do we treat that
well? I'm not saying they're not well-loved. I'm just saying, find me a dog that would say no to more attention.
If I could find you a dog that could say no, we would have an entirely different show here.
Fair.
I'm good with calling it the gigantic game or the... Would you say the marvelous match?
That's really good. I said the majestic match.
Oh.
Oh, the marvelous match, yeah.
The marvelous match. I'd watch that. Dude, we could probably get Disney to pay for it.
Yeah. The Disney...
Mike, Marvel is owned by Disney, is the joke.
Oh.
Yes. You don't have to make the connection.
Do you think that we could get like an Amazon tie-in? Like the Marvelous Match Maisel?
Ew.
Marvelous Mismatch?
Ew.
Mismatch? Nope, that doesn't work.
No.
Speaking of the Marvelous Match or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with the Last Man competition?
No.
I just learned about this today. It's an informal competition.
The best kind of competition.
Yeah, exactly. To be the last person in a group to find out the results of the Super Bowl.
That's really fun.
Okay.
That's a great wrinkle for people who don't care about the game.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Or it's even a greater wrinkle for people who do care about the game, but I imagine that they won't hold out very long.
So I know both of you are football fans, but if we had a bet on the table that some generous benefactor was offering up $1 million to whoever was the last person to hear the results of today's game, what would your approach be? What would you do over the coming weeks, months, whatever, to ensure that you are the last person?
You think it would take months?
I don't know. Depends how good you are.
So I'm pretty good at not remembering stuff.
So you're hoping that your natural forgetfulness...
I feel like that's a built-in advantage I can start from.
That's funny. I also thought of a built-in advantage in that I don't really have anywhere I need to be.
Right.
That's true.
I can just sit there and avoid the news.
You don't have to talk to anybody ever if you don't want to.
Yeah. Oh, what a life. I mean, I enjoy talking to you too, but...
you could shield yourself.
For how would I know that I won $1 million?
Mm. We would reach out. Whoever's running this would reach out to let you know that you're the last one. But it's not just like, don't read the news. Like, the Super Bowl is in your face. If you get push notifications about the news, like, you might get a push notification 3 minutes after it's over.
That's
saying
true.
Who won, and you're out.
Fuck.
Good point.
Okay. Definitely
can't check social media.
Shut off my phone.
Yeah.
No phone for months.
I would probably just not look at my phone for a second, clear all the notifications, and then go in airplane mode.
For months?
No Wi-Fi.
No Wi-Fi.
Yeah, until I have more control of the situation.
Okay.
This is a very active situation.
This is very Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
So what does control look like? You said you'd keep it in airplane mode until you have control. What does control look like?
Control for me is now an immediate exit back to my home.
Okay.
Where I have access to my room privately, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And I can lock the doors and effectively be in isolation, but still have... I would have to turn off, like, internet on other stuff, I guess. I wouldn't be able to venture into the streaming worlds unless I knew it was only historical. I guess I would only watch old wrestling.
You probably, you can't go on any websites.
I'm pretty much out. Right. The only thing I'd be doing is finding some way to order pizza without the pizza place informing me who won the big game.
It's gonna be really tough.
I know. But luckily, Peyton Manning will somehow be involved, and he hasn't played football in years, so I'll be equally as confused.
Okay.
Do you put out a proactive, stay away from me message?
No, you can't do that. That doesn't only,
don't tell
that
me.
Only attracts messages.
The Streisand effect. Can't do that.
But like, what if your roommate comes home, and she's like, oh, hey, did you see the... And then what do you do? Do you just yell at her and stop talking to me?
I would send her... a written message at the front door that explains the situation, go back into my room.
So you're sequestering yourself.
I'm letting her know the situation and letting her know that all conversation is on the table with this one clear exception. Mm-hmm. I'm letting her know the stakes, and I'm letting her know that anyone who comes into the home, just a heads up on that.
I feel like you could go for years in this fashion.
The only thing holding me back is my savings.
I have absolutely no idea who won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I remember last year. I couldn't tell you any of the previous years, even one.
It was the Patriots.
That's always a good guess.
Josh, do you remember that? That unbelievable game where they came back against Atlanta?
Yeah, of course I remember.
You do? I don't.
Yes, it was just a year ago.
What happened?
It was 2 years ago. I mean, last year was Philadelphia.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Okay, maybe I'm not quite as memorable as I thought.
Atlanta was in the Super Bowl?
Dude, Atlanta wasn't just in the Super Bowl. They had a commanding lead. And one of the things that turned people into Patriots fans relatively late in this whole Patriot hate cycle was this miraculous comeback that they legitimately pulled off.
I have absolutely no memory of
Tom Brady was an absolute superhero. It's the kind of game you just film and then you make a movie out of it.
Yeah? Really? Fuck.
Dude, it was unbelievable. I'm surprised you guys don't remember that.
No.
No, I remember that.
You didn't? Are you sure?
I was still in Boston at the time. Yeah, I do remember.
That would be a memorable scene, I'm sure.
And that didn't even win you over that kind of I know I even said that earlier, but I retract it from earlier too. That kind of sports performance.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're good athletes. That's not my problem with them. I'm not like...
No, but what about like the pressure of the situation, the stress? Like, you've been in high stress situations. Amplify that to a level like that's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been in a high stress situation like that. It's really hard to picture what that could even be like. But regardless, like, it's not about the team. It's a little bit about the team, but it's not. It's more about the fans.
Okay.
It's when you are so used to winning and you just win every fucking year and you have, like, you know, the greatest quarterback of all time. Why? There's no fun in that. It's like playing with cheat codes.
Wait, those are two different arguments. I thought we were going the route of you don't like the fans, but now you're saying you don't like they're consistently succeeding.
Well, I don't like how pompous the fans get because of the team consistently succeeding. They go hand in hand.
You can't separate the fans from, like, your enjoyment of the team?
I don't know. Fans do make up a big part of who the team is.
That's true. There's way more of them in that stadium than there are players.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fair point, but okay. That sucks then, I guess.
So back to my original question, though. You would, like, sequester yourself for a long period of time? Like, what if you don't end up winning? What if it gets spoiled for you? Then you just wasted however many months of your life.
I don't consider any moment that I am alive wasted. So it's a real lucky, like, mental hack that I have going on. Even if I'm sitting there and this has become my new pledge in life to really adhere to, I'd be like, wow, who knew this turn was coming?
Okay.
And I'd just sit there. I think I honestly think it would surprise people how content I can be in weird situations.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I like, I'm looking through the results from last year from one that has, it looks like, about 75 people in. And, you know, there's everybody's self-policing here. But some of these are like, let's see here. Somebody lost a week and a half later talking to their 94-year-old great aunt at a wake. Like, yeah, you just can't get away from some of these sometimes.
That's true.
Like, you're not going to not go to a funeral if somebody close to you passes away. Or would you? For $1 million, maybe you would.
I'm, like, philosophically a man who believes in an individual existence as is. So, I don't know, man. There's a lot of funerals I'm missing at the moment. I'm kidding. I'd have to find other workarounds. You guys should be pretty proud of how crafty I've been in these last few minutes. I could figure out how to do a lot of these things.
That's true. And you didn't say, like, I'll just move.
No. I'll face my life head on, and I will apply directly to the forehead the $1 million bill that I get after I win.
Well, you could tell everyone you come into contact with, don't talk to me about the Super Bowl. I'll give you $50 not to talk to me.
No, again.
Because you're going to win $1 million.
I feel like this is your original strategy revised to now you losing more money somehow.
But it's like,
people don't know that I don't know.
I have the perfect solution.
Are you going to kill yourself?
No, I'm going I'm going to go on Fiverr.com or whatever, and I'm going to pay people to create fake news broadcasts and, like, sign up for all of these services that can, like, send me fake push notifications of what team wins and just tell them to, like, flood me with both.
Oh my
God.
Because
if I know that I'm getting some fake news in there, then I can just live my life. And I'll, like, tell a bunch of people I know to, like, talk about what's real and what's not and just, like, you know, intermingle it. I'm going to lose my grip on reality when it comes to the Super Bowl, but that's okay because I'll never know.
Interesting.
I mean, you can't fault, like, that is a pretty creative modern
plausible
solution.
Deniability.
But
yeah.
The difference in yours and mine, as you just said, is you lose your mind.
Only when it comes to football. I'll get it back by the time next season starts.
This might start a spiral where you can't trust anybody, you know?
I mean, a good spiral is really important, though.
That's true.
A good spiral is really important.
So we have $1 million we're talking about.
I don't know what I'd do with $1 million. Probably just sit in my room some more.
Chris Conrad is Dennis, and he's the brother of Stephen Conrad, the creator of the show.
Who are these people? Who are the Conrads?
Man, you got to see Patriot. It's really good.
Yeah, you have to fucking watch Patriot, man.
I know that that's an annoying thing to say.
Are you both watching Patriot?
Patriot? Yeah, that was my favorite show of 2017.
It's one of my favorite shows of all time.
Yeah, Patriot is up there with Leftovers and Fargo for me.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
No kidding.
Patriot's outstanding. Yeah.
So you're both caught up?
Yes. Well, Mike is not.
Wait, Mike is not caught up?
I am not caught up. No, I'm in the middle of season two still. I've switched over to the Ted Bundy tapes.
Oh.
Recently, yep. Just started the Ted Bundy tapes.
What everybody is watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I get it.
A lot of stuff happening in Seattle. Like, stuff happening really close to my apartment. It's weird.
Mm. That's right. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. It's weird. Like, the guy was a fucking monster. I didn't realize how crazy he was. I watched all of the Ted Bundy tapes.
You finished it?
Did finish it, yes.
I'm still in the part where he's charming me right now in episode one. He hasn't lost it yet. I hear it's about to get...
I mean, they kind of blend together because I watched them all over just 3 days or something. But
yeah.
Didn't he still murder people in the first episode?
He did, but I haven't... He murdered a bunch of people in that one.
A bunch, Mike?
Yeah, but I haven't, like, seen him sort of lose it on the tapes
yet. That's not enough?
Well, I don't know what happened yet. I'm only in episode one.
He never really loses it. Like, he's always pretty, like...
He doesn't?
...calm and collected.
Oh, my God! Mm. Dude, Mike is the perfect Ted Bundy victim! He keeps expecting this man will not do the things that... Like, he's not seeing right in front of him.
Oh, no.
Mike!
I don't think I want to finish this show.
Yeah, and also, just don't do things that strangers tell you to from here on out. You can't handle that.
All right, that sounds reasonable.
Jeez Louise, do you guys know? It's the University of Washington is involved in this story, right, Josh?
Yes.
UW.
Yeah, he was a student there, as I recall.
He was, yes.
Okay, so there are two stories that this story tells. I'm going to actually just fast forward to the second story. So there I was with a friend of mine, accidentally in some huge frat party at the UW after we had seen The Whitest Kids You Know do a comedy performance.
Okay.
Somehow we're in this house. I have to figure out an excuse because people are asking questions why these two people who are much older than college students are in this house. And so I just go, I'm looking for Frank or something. I make some guy's name up. And then like the room gets like weird college movie silent. And it's like, this isn't Frank's house. And like everyone just looks right at me. And my friend is, we were there on a date. So I don't, she went along for like this fun adventure. It was fun. Anyway, so it's just quiet now. Somehow the music has also been turned down. And I go, this isn't Frank's house? And I turn to her and I go, we're at the wrong party. And then all the kids go, they're at the wrong party. And we just start celebrating again.
Oh my God.
All of a sudden, we become the stars of this party.
Dude.
And we're moving from like room to room, seeing things. And eventually, there's one place. You got to the upstairs of this house. And on the right-hand side, there was one door that was closed. I figure college kids make out in that room, so I don't want to be in there. And so I walked into the other room, and it was a bunch of other college kids who had, at somehow, by the time I was downstairs to had come upstairs, had heard about the two people who were at the wrong party. And so, like, we have friends here.
Dude, have you ever been more popular? This sounds so fun.
Mike, this was a blast, but it's weird to tell you this. I have found myself in similar situations before. It's a really, really fun life.
Damn.
Yeah. Unearned happiness. That's what I should title my biography. That's a great name for my autobiography. Anyway. So all of a sudden, this makeout door, I realize, is kind of a private access door. So we, the star kids at this party now, kids, get like entrance into this room.
Okay.
And so it's one kid's room. He lives there. He's kind of like the resident cool kid, it appears. He's trying to not let people in there. This kid is like 19, and he has three just beautiful electric guitars mounted on his wall as decoration.
Wow.
Like a giant 80-inch TV.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
Like, he's just living it up in this crazy place. Are you guys... Okay, so I'll tell you what was happening in there, but instead of whatever is actually happening in there, what do you think the cool kids spend their time doing at these parties? Or were you one of those cool kids and in that room?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I assume fun drugs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, drugs.
Both of mostly? You are saying drugs.
Drugs, but... Like, you got to do something else when you're on them. Like, you can't just continually do lines of cocaine over and over to pass the time.
You don't know what cocaine does, Josh. Me neither, but I heard about it in books.
What if you get really high and then just, like, read a book?
You could read a book at a party.
So here's what you guys may not know about... I'm not a super cool kid, but I have met... a handful of super cool kids, and they are super cool for a lot of reasons. They're either very like charming or handsome or like pretty or like funny or something. I don't know. There's something that goes to
they
it.
Have an exceptional trait.
We get it. You're listing things that Mike and I aren't.
Yeah. Wow. Damn. I was not doing that. You might want to look into another thing.
I also didn't take it that way.
Yeah. We'll list a separate set of attributes for what you're going through, Josh. Nonetheless, the thing is, the kids who are typically on top of the social ladder, it's weirdly lonely for them up there. And so they are oddly sentimental very often. And I'm not making this up. We sat there watching a photo slideshow of his trip to like Europe with his mom. And it was like he was just sharing it with like the few people in this room that he had allowed into his life a little. He was a nice kid,
and
you could tell.
You were one of them.
Yeah, somehow, within the last 10 minutes, I have achieved that status.
Okay.
What was his name?
I have no idea what his name was, but he drifted through life. But anyway, one of the things that I realized was this room was extra exclusive, not only because the cool kid had it, I'm guessing the cool kid had it for this reason, but because it was Ted Bundy's room.
Ah!
Yeah.
What?
That's where he stayed.
His bedroom? He lived in there?
Apparently so.
Dude.
You're telling me, Mike, how fucking really? Weird would that be to find out when you're in the room?
Ah.
Of course it has become some sort of weird status
disturbing,
symbol.
Disturbing, yeah.
Yeah. It's still, like, it's really well decorated now.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
Yeah, really odd. Really odd. But yeah, there's a little Ted Bundy for you.
Oh, thanks. I mean, you watched a cool slideshow in his former bedroom.
Well, I mean, you seem pretty upset about this. Let's resolve your issue with an instead of. Instead of having found out that it was Ted Bundy's room, who would you have rather it belonged to?
What about, like, Jason Alexander?
Really?
Why? I'm very intrigued. I would love to.
Yeah, why?
Because I can't imagine that it would be somebody like hugely famous that you just wouldn't know before stepping in. Like, it's not going to be like George Clooney's bedroom or something.
Why not? He went to college.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't know.
Stars, just like us, until they become stars.
It's a more interesting story if it's a random celebrity that somebody hasn't thought of in like months.
You don't think people think of George?
I don't know. Not everybody watches Seinfeld all the time.
Not true. A ton of people watch Seinfeld all the time.
But that's a good level of sort of relative obscurity.
Yeah.
Like, I hung out in Jason Alexander's bedroom.
Especially if he, like, comes back to hang out. Did you ever see that video of Coolio going back with some college kids after a concert and doing that, like, acoustic version of Gangsta's Paradise?
No.
No. That sounds much better than Jason Alexander coming back to his old dorm room, dude.
Yeah, but, like, Coolio's that level of fame where he can do that. And he's big enough that it's still a really cool story and, like, these kids will remember it for the rest of their lives. But he's not so big that something like that could never happen. Like, Drake is never going to do that.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know. I love Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
But I might have whatever Mike level of like horror was of confusion if Jason Alexander had come into that room next. Fucking Frank's house. I don't think it was Frank. I wonder what name we used. I can't believe how quickly that came up and it just was accepted. Oh my God. Can I end this story?
Yeah.
Yes.
The ending to this story will be the end of what would have been story one. On our way out, now, you know, I've decided it's time to leave because, you know, it's not too fun at the top, it turns out. So I'm descending the literal stairs. We're saying our goodbyes. I have that $5 cup that someone has given me for beers. I'm putting that aside as I no longer want it. And as I'm doing that, I see a nice young man who comes over to me to wish me well. And we're chatting. And he tells me that he's made a decision. He's done. He's done with school. He's out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Too hard.
I don't know. Well, no, it wasn't too hard. We were talking a little bit about what was going on, and he's just like, you know, I think I need to do these things right now, and then I'll come back, and then I'll come back. And he just kept saying, then I'll come back.
You made some close connections at this party.
Yeah, we got real. And I told him, hey, man, the decision is all yours. Do whatever you'd like. But if your intention is to come back, here are a handful of reasons why you might just not want to leave in the first place that might be beneficial to you. And that motherfucker signed up for class in front of me.
Who the hell are you?
I don't know, Mike.
Holy shit.
You're like the reverse Ted Bundy. You're making people's lives infinitely better.
I know it's a very nice compliment, but I just don't want you to say that again.
I have an apology to issue. Two apologies to issue.
Oh, no.
On the air.
You doubled your apologies just right away.
Yeah.
Is your second apology for not including that second person in the first
God,
apology?
Oh, God, now I owe three. Fuck. Okay.
Who are these apologies to?
They are to Brian Urlacher.
Oh,
and
wow.
Zach Levine.
Okay.
Okay.
On this show, I said that they look weird.
You sure did.
I did.
I think our very first episode, you said Zach Levine's neck was weird.
He has a long neck. And it's true. He does.
Doubling down.
I'm sorry that I made fun of it, though.
You've been holding on to this guilt for like a year and a half.
I know. I talked to you about this like 2 months ago.
Damn.
That I wanted to apologize to Brian Urlacher because I've seen more commercials. They've gone into more depth about his sort of hair regrowth experience. And you know what? Good for him.
There you go, Mike.
I feel bad. I made fun of his hair. He looks great.
He looks great.
It's the eve of the big game. Brian Urlacher.
The marvelous match.
The marvelous match. Brian Urlacher in the spirit. I'm very sorry. Zach Levine. Sorry I said your neck is long. instead of being mean to people, what compliment would you like to just give? Just give a compliment.
I think that's a great instead of, but first, quick switcheroo, Josh, if you'll allow it. Mike, why don't you give two compliments to those two gentlemen?
Yeah, I'll get even.
I'm getting even. Get positive. Okay. So maybe even go make it a big compliment.
Okay. Brian Urlacher, my God, you're so good at football.
Yeah, he really is really good at football.
Fucking running around, smashing people, nobody better. So thanks for doing that. And thank you for, I like your eyes.
Oh.
You have
that's nice.
Pretty eyes, Brian.
That's okay.
Zach Levine, I like your new hairdo, into that. You dunk great. I love your dunks.
Hey, Josh.
You should try a little harder.
Well, hang on, Mike. Whoa, hang on. I can't, right now, you are even. Let's hold you even with Zach Levine. Mm-hmm. Zach Levine. he'll leave if you do this. But Josh.
Yeah.
Zach Levine is a two-time slam dunk champion.
Okay.
He is. Of the slam dunk
competition.
Competition.
Good. So he's like on par with Brady then.
No, totally different games and different things.
Hmm.
Mm.
Also, par is for golf. I know it's a common phrase. Josh, who do you want to give a compliment to?
I'm trying to think of somebody that I've like chat on in the past. Can you remember of anybody that I've insulted on this podcast?
I'm still a little, I wish you hadn't used that word for some reason.
Chat on.
Yeah. And you said it like almost like chat. So it was even more confusing.
Are there any Chads that I've made fun of?
Probably. You generally look your nose down on Chads.
Have we talked about Nickelback? Have I made fun of them? Because Chad Kroeger is their lead dude.
I feel like that's right about our wheelhouse, making fun of Nickelback. I'm sure we've done that.
I don't think we have. No, it's a trope.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
we don't do tropes.
Well, I mean, it's not a trope to compliment them. So let me look up this guy here.
What's your favorite Nickelback song?
Oh, so many.
Why don't you just do the exact opposite of that song where he never made it as a blind man? Now give him all of the abilities that he didn't have.
Okay.
Just sing that song for him and flip it and reverse it. Missy Elliott, my compliment is for you for that wonderful line.
Okay. I've always made it as a wise man. I could have always cut it as a poor man stealing.
Wait, I don't think he actually wanted that. Don't you think that this poor man would have rather just his circumstances improved?
Fine. I did really well as a rich man.
Doesn't that feel better as a song? Now we're getting towards like rap confidence. Rap confidence is just the opposite of this Nickelback song.
Yeah. I'm satisfied living as a man with sight. Pretty privileged to have that.
No, dude, where's the confidence?
The line was tired of living like a blind man. I'm not tired of that. I'm satisfied with my sight.
Satisfaction, the opposite of being tired, apparently. Yes, this is fine.
I'm wide awake and using my wide open eyes to see.
Now okay. These are getting to be some weird lyrics, but they are lyrics.
Almost lyrical, yeah.
Yeah. Sick of sight without a sense of feeling.
I like all five of my senses.
Yeah, I'm really, all my senses are in tip-top shape, and this is how you remind me of what I really am. I'm all of these good things. I'm wise, I'm rich, I am a healthy individual.
I think maintaining the chorus was your masterstroke here. Well done. Just read the last line now and we can end it.
What is the last line? Hang on, going all the way down here.
You have to scroll in this one?
Yeah, I just searched on Google and it like collapses the lyrics. So the last line, like as it fades out, he goes, are we having fun yet? Yeah, yeah, no, no. So am I just doing like, no, no, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I think so. Well,
it gets
you know,
better and better.
Yeah, we've taken a negative and flipped it to a positive.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah. Okay.
I like this.
Cool. But here's my compliment to you. As much as that's an upbeat song, your song is much better than mine, Chad Kroeger.
Oh, that's
aww.
Nice. Yeah.
Aww.
And it's so true.
It really is, yeah.
Your song might not even rhyme. Yeah, I don't think you ever considered like tempo or meter.
Yeah, none of those.
So you guys, you went on another road trip.
Yes.
A different one.
Yes.
Without me.
The one that you clearly remember from after high school.
That one.
Josh, did I tell you about this road trip?
I don't know. What memorable things happened on this one?
So a lot of stuff, actually. But I'll just hit one quick highlight. This trip included my friend who introduced me to Polar.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It included trying to attend the Conan O'Brien show.
Unsuccessfully. Okay.
And it included another thing that Josh mentioned earlier, like chance occurrences that people are... Mike, you said this story is only now relevant, the Ted Bundy story that I have, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's weird to tell people that after like the first season of The Office, when no one was watching it, and like I was a 17-year-old kid, I have a picture with Jim Halpert, because like I was the only guy who recognized him at 30 Rock.
Oh my God.
Right.
Right? And the show is red, and I'm glad they found like huge success, and I'm not at all trying to do the hipster thing at all, but like I can't bring that up now without it, without one of two things happening. Every single woman in Chicago who is single and available, or maybe just available, has informed me via online dating that their favorite show is The Office and they've seen it 4,000 times.
Okay.
That's great, right?
Yeah, that rings true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now one would think, hey, put up the picture of you and the guy from The Office who ended up being like one of the most beloved characters on the entire show.
Yeah.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But my brain feels like that's really grimy.
I mean, yes. Yeah. If you're like...
I mean, it's also like... It's also the standard by which people hold relationships. It's like, I want you to be the Jim to my Pam.
Right.
But I'm the Pam in that picture.
Well, then maybe they could be the Jim.
I think associating, yeah, it's a grimy association with Jim.
No, that's not what I'm saying, guys. I'll feel it's grimy not... about exploiting the situation.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. You're saying like, oh, I could be the Jim to your Pam.
No, it's even shallower. It's, I met your favorite celebrity, and he touched me, and people like that sometimes. It's weird. I'm not going to do it. It's freaking me out. You guys would do it?
No.
I'm just saying, at what point, where do you draw that line? Because some of these things are like things that you've experienced and characteristics that you have. Like, if somebody's like, I want somebody to go rock climbing with, and you like rock climbing, you're not going to be like... Well, that would be grimy because then I'd be playing right into her hand. Or like, I want somebody that's funny, and then you just play the straight man your entire relationship. Like, come on. True. Like, if you have something that interests them, like, throw it out there.
If I was going to date a rock climber, I would want to play right into her hand. Hey-o. No, Mike, that's not what I'm saying.
Guys, take another one after high school, another road trip.
Yeah, do you remember that?
Me? I didn't go. I didn't go on that one.
Well, I'll save that because, Mike, the whole premise is that you did remember it. You brought it up. Fuck. God, that's really funny. Okay.
Kept it.
I'll cut it. We'll keep that. No,
that's
we will,
so
but we have to do something else.
What other road trip did you go on?
Okay, hang on. Yeah, you can ask that, but just give me a second to compose myself.
Fuck.
It's just like twice today I've been like, here are lobs, and it's just like shot in the
Isn't
air.
Isn't it funny if you block them?
I don't think you even see them. I think you just walk right by.